Five people reported rescued this morning after their tug and barge went aground on the Aleutian chain. The 78-foot tug Polar Wind and the barge ran hard aground in Pavlov Bay last night in 8-foot seas and 30-knot winds. A Coast Guard H-60 helicopter from Kodiak hoisted two crewmen aboard, and an H-65 helicopter from the cutter Sherman hoisted the other three aboard this morning. They were all taken to nearby Cold Bay this morning. No injuries reported and no pollution reported so far. The Coast Guard says overflights of the grounding site are likely to check for any pollution. The owner of the tug is also expected to try to salvage the vessel. Two trappers were mauled by a brown bear on the Kenai Peninsula. One of the men was seriously injured when the bear attacked while the two were setting coyote snares near mile 42 of the Kenai River. Department of Fish and Game Wildlife technician Larry Lewis says the two men were separated when one of them heard the bear growl and then heard his trapping partner yelling. The man ran to help and saw the bear on top of his friend. The man yelled at the bear, which then swatted at him and tore his clothes before returning to his friend, who was bitten twice. The man managed to get both of them to their boat and to medical help. Juneau police have arrested a 21-year-old man after he was accused of sexually assaulting a woman in the woods above the downtown cruise ship docks. In a statement, police say Kevin Arnold Slatz was arrested and charged with felony first-degree sexual assault. Following an investigation, he's being held at Lemon Creek Correctional Center on no bail. The 37-year-old victim contacted police at about 1:30 Saturday afternoon. She suffered non-life-threatening injuries and was treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Police obtained a search warrant and collected physical evidence from Slatz as well as from the scene of the alleged attack. The Juneau Police Department says the victim and Slatz knew each other, and alcohol appears to have been a factor in the alleged assault. Two votes. That's the latest report from the State Division of Elections, which counted absentee ballots yesterday in the race for House District 34. Haines Republican Representative Bill Thomas now holds a two-vote lead over Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Here are the new totals from Division of Elections Director Gail Funumiai. Bill Thomas with 4,054 votes and Jonathan Christ Tompkins with 4,052 votes. Rice Tompkins watched the absentee ballot count in person yesterday.
It's monotonous. It's literally feeding a ballot counter thousands of paper stock ballots.
But the counting is not over yet. More ballots could still arrive by mail. Two more count dates are on the calendar, and anything can happen.
There are, I think, 167 absentee ballots that were requested but haven't come in by mail yet. So at least a couple of those, probably some kind of percentage of those will come in by mail, and who knows what way they're going to swing.
There are also three question ballots from Port Alexander left to count. Thomas, also reached by phone here in Juneau, called the election a seesaw and reiterated his worry about Southeast Alaska's clout in the next legislative session. He says he'll have a seat on the Finance Committee, but has already lost the chairmanship. And he noted that Sitka Republican Bert Stedman, the returned to Senate office by voters, will no longer be chairman of the Senate Finance Committee.
Very rarely has a district ever lost two co-chairs of finance in the history of the state. I think this might be the first time. You know, we're going to have to fight hard to get over it one way or the other. It'll put more work on either Jonathan or I. We'll have to work pretty hard, and I think there's less capital this year and more people that want it. So either way, it's going to be a tough battle for whoever.
There's at least one Senate race and one House race in Anchorage they're still too close to call. In the House race, Republican Lance Pruitt is now leading Democrat Pete Peterson by 216 votes, increasing his margin of victory by 120 votes. As for the Senate race between incumbent Democrat Hollis French and Republican Bob Bell, French holds a 56-vote lead. French had a lead of 247 votes in that race as of early yesterday before the additional absentee and question ballots were counted. Former state lawmaker Pete Kelly has widened his lead over Senator Joe Pascvan in a Fairbanks Senate race. Kelly led Pascvan by 924 votes after election officials tallied those absentee and question ballots. Kelly last week was named part of the new Republican-led Senate majority and co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, speaking to his party's confidence in the race's ultimate result. Congress reconvened yesterday after more than a month away. With less than 2 months until the end of the year and the close of the session, members clearly feel the heat. Yesterday, the Senate picked up a collection of bills known as the Sportsman's Package. And as APRN's Peter Granitz reports, if it passes, it could waive the duck stamp fee for subsistence hunters.
The Sportsman's Package was mired in political controversy before Congress took off. Montana Democratic Senator John Tester introduced the bill in the upper chamber, while his opponent in the recent election, Republican Denny Rayburg, introduced a similar version in the House. Tester won the election, and the Senate voted to pass his bill through procedural hurdles. The package has a whole host of provisions, from allowing hunters to carry bows through national parks, to reauthorizing various conservation acts, to changing the federal duck stamp program.
It will be nice to get some sort of clarity.
That's Aurora Lair. She works on federal policy for the Alaska Federation of Natives. Subsistence hunters are required to purchase duck stamps, the federal permit for hunting migratory birds and waterfowl. Lair says many Alaska Natives never knew a rule existed, so they unwittingly broke the law. A provision in the Sportsman's Package would allow the Secretary of Interior to waive the purchase of duck stamps for certain people. It does not specify who or what the criteria would be, but Lair says she's confident subsistence hunters will qualify, in part because Secretary Ken Salazar has expressed support for the measure in meetings with AFN leaders.
There hasn't been any sort of commitment, but it's something that he and his staff have been supportive of through our conversations with them.
A duck stamp costs $15. Not a lot of money for most sport hunters, but in some Alaska communities, a hefty sum. Paul Schmidt is the chief conservationist at Ducks Unlimited, the lobby association working to preserve waterfowl habitats. His group supports the entire Sportsman's Package, but would like to see as few waivers granted as possible. The government uses the money to buy up critical habitats for waterfowl.
As long as they are reasonable and don't begin to erode the whole program that fundamentally is important to habitat conservation.
Schmidt says subsistence hunters in Alaska are a worthy candidate to receive the waiver. Since 1934, when the duck stamp program was established, the U.S. government has bought up 5 million acres. None of it has been in Alaska. And that's okay with U.S. Senator Mark Begich.
We have a lot of land already, as you know, preserved and owned by the federal government. So I'm not sure I want more land in their control. But I think what's more important is that there is resources available for protecting and ensuring this habitat for duck hunting and subsistence hunters is, you know, there in perpetuity.
And the bill could assure resources are coming down the pike. It would require the Secretary of Interior to consider changing the price of a duck stamp every 3 years. It's been $15 since 1991. That's the longest stretch of time without a price increase. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
Alaska's Commerce Commissioner says the disaster from poor king salmon returns was worse than first estimated. In a letter to the state's congressional delegation, Susan Bell says commercial fishery permit holders lost an estimated $16.8 million in direct revenue. She says that does not include the economic effect on crew members who help harvest salmon or processors and support businesses. The U.S. Department of Commerce in September declared king salmon fisheries a disaster in the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers.